Hey, are you looking to buy a new car? Are you stuck in a high-rate loan and looking to refinance? Well, UK Federal Credit Union can help. Right now, UK Federal Credit Union has auto loan rates as low as 2.99% APR. Apply for an auto loan online at ukfcu.org or in person at the dealership. Get your dream car today at UK Federal Credit Union. UK Federal Credit Union. It's banking, only better. Annual percentage rate, member qualification supply, rated subject to credit approval and subject to change. For full disclosure, visit ukfcu.org. Federally insured by NCUA.
Wing is a paid program on 630 WLAP. This is the Tom Dupree Show on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, you've got to play big.
And put in your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the caulk.
We're gonna take it.
Welcome to the second hour of the Tom Dupree Show. This week, joining us, Adarsh Meshru, Philip Sexton, Mike Johnson, and Tom Dupree with his wide and varied music taste, from the Talking Heads and B-52s to Loyal Fusion. Is that the way you say it, Tom? Folsom?
Yeah,
Folsom.
That's the way you say it.
Okay, Folsom, right? All right, however. I got it right, maybe.
All right, let's jump right into it. Tech stocks go red for 2021. I mean, if you think about it, it couldn't be sustained at the levels that, you know, we saw things get to. And it seems to me a lot of that was driven by Robinhood and COVID and the people having time on their hands and, you know, playing, you know, it, with $1,500 and buying this and that. So it was interesting, and these tended to be names that everybody knew about, but now you're seeing things kind of pull back a little bit, and I'm just interested in kind of what everybody thinks about that. Does anybody think about
that? I'll take the first jump here.
Crickets.
Yeah. So it'd be funny if you got us like 10 seconds. Just, you're all on your own, buddy. I've been on my own before.
Boy, that was a curveball. Yeah.
And then you just hear the doors close.
Yeah.
And we just all left.
Not speaking out on this one.
So one thing, I found interesting from this, and I think, you know, this is potentially a really good thing for the life of the bull market is how I'd want to put it. You know, because you saw like the tech names, become, I think it was over 30% of the S&P 500, the 10 biggest names. Let's see. Yeah, it was 30.86%, and they've since come back down from that. One of the things that we've talked about with several clients is what you need to see happen for the long-term health of the bull market is that you need to see other players start to participate and even overtake the tech sector. You need that dispersion. Because if you start to see participation in other areas instead of just tech becoming a 30%, you know, the top 10 names becoming 30%, then 35%, then 40%.
So you want to see Disney with an 80 PE or, I mean,
heck yeah. You know. Heck yeah.
What's the PE on Disney right now? Probably 40.
I mean,
it's high.
Theoretically, when you consider it, yeah, it might be closer to 80 because – I mean, when you know, the government shut them down, they didn't have earnings.
I'm talking about forward, not
forward
trailing.
PE. Yeah, I don't think it's that high.
No,
it's, but again,
So you're saying another group needs to exhibit leadership over tech.
Yeah.
Somebody else needs to start being a market leader.
It broadens out. Yeah.
I mean, so if you, you know, the thing about investing and, you know,
he says, here's how it really
yeah,
is.
Let me tell you. You guys can BS all you want to. I'll step in and clean up the mess.
Well, no, this is just a perspective, and, you know, you can disagree. But when you look at, you know, it's always, you can look at any period of time, you know.
Yeah.
You can look at 6 months, and you can be like, you know, this is the leader. This sector is the leader. You can look at a year. Now, tech has been the leader of this bull market since 2007, even before this bull market started, because, you know, in 2007, housing stocks peaked, bank stocks peaked towards the end of 2007. And since then, for the last 13 years, tech stocks have led. You know, a stock like Apple has gone up 70 or 80 times since this bull market started. Amazon, 50 times perhaps. There are other sectors within the tech space that didn't do anything for a long time, but just recently started resurging, namely semiconductors, you know, your hardware type stocks, not your software, but your hardware stocks. So I'm not saying that, you know, tech is not overvalued or tech cannot underperform other sectors. But, you know, it's like the bond market, you know, these trends are very long-term trends. You know, the bond market yields on bonds peaked in 1980, and for 40 years, every time it seems like, you know, it's done, you see yields decline again. So tech is the leader from the point of view of the tech sector just tends to happen, tends to have the fastest revenue and fastest earnings growth out of all sectors. So while the bull market is going on, while interest rates are relatively low, there's no reason to believe that that bigger trend is going to change. Of course, you know, you'll have 6 month periods or even a year where tech does not perform. But I'm talking about the much larger trend.
Well, I mean, tech was huge in the late 90s also. I mean, you know, and then companies like Cisco Systems got really expensive, then they pulled back and stayed pulled back. Have they had a run along with everybody else recently?
Here recently, yes, they have.
But
yes,
they've lagged.
They have, yes. Cisco is nowhere close to where it was in the late 90s. Neither Intel is getting close to where it was. We're still not back there. Microsoft has surpassed where it was in the 90s and gone on to make new highs. Of course, Amazon, Apple, they've all surpassed their 90s highs. So
I would argue that companies like especially Amazon, Google, they aren't really tech companies. They're advertising companies.
I would agree. Yes. So even when you look at how Amazon is categorized, it's not under the tech sector. It's under the consumer discretionary sector. It's not
even Facebook. I don't really completely Facebook, call it a tech company.
Yes, it's a media company. Apple is, you know, a consumer product company. You know, not a tech in that sense. It's not new tech. Even when you look at, you know, if you differentiate between value and growth, you know, tech can be either value or growth. You know, tech does not have to be a growth stock only. It could also be a value stock. Now, I would argue that perhaps value stocks have lagged growth stocks for a number of years. So now there could be some sort of mean reversion where value stocks outperform. But that does not mean that, you know, tech stocks, which are also value stocks, can't outperform. So I differentiate between tech and growth. I guess that's my point. But tech has been the leader for the last many, you know, 14 odd years since 2007 when the financial crisis began. So you know, a few months of underperformance does not negate that trend. Now, are we at the cusp? We don't know yet. You know, it's hard to predict that, you know, this is the cusp and it's over and, you know, tech is going to underperform. So between the year 2000 and 2007, tech underperformed for 7 years. Are we in that period? You know, I still don't know. Now, maybe 6 months from now, I may change my mind if there's some confirmation, because, you know, you just cannot forecast these things. But as of now, tech has been the leader for over a decade. So it's too soon to say that that's over.
The thing that is interesting, you know, the last 2 weeks especially, you know, has been the reaction with what interest rates have been doing, especially with tech in general. Yeah, when I say tech, it's really talking about growth, the growth sector. And so, you know, we're talking about what could change that catalyst. It could be interest rates going up. Right. That could be the catalyst that changes it. You know, today, I mean, the market was just whipsawed all over the place today.
Right.
But, you know, interest rates absolutely play a big part in growth.
The 10-year has basically come up 100 basis points in yield since August.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Gone from a point
0.52 to today, I think.
156.
Yes. It closed at 156. In the morning, it went up to 162.
So, I mean, still, even if you told me it would ever be at 1.56, if you ever told me anything on the yield curve would be at 1.56, including Fed funds, overnight funds, I would have said you're crazy.
Yeah. I think the thing that I would argue, though, one thing you said, these long-term trends, Adarsh, you know, I think when you differentiate between the stock market and the bond market, you know, the bond market, you get these 40, 50, you know, even sometimes up to like 100-year trend on things. I think the stock market is much more fickle, where you're looking at, you know, 5 to 10 year, you know, you don't get much beyond a decade on a trend with something like that.
Can you imagine the portfolio manager, the bond manager, that picked up a billion of these babies when they were yielding a 0.52 and put them in the portfolio? Oh, can you imagine what he's having to gonna have to explain to?
I bet he's got ulcers.
It's just insane.
Yeah.
And he's probably 30.
What are you trying to say? Yeah.
No. That y'all are idiots? I don't know. I wouldn't say something like that.
But I think a lot of the buyers, you know, have been, you know, institutions, you know, be it insurance companies, pension funds.
So that makes it okay?
No, it doesn't make it okay. Just try.
Hey, are you looking to buy a new car? Are you stuck in a high-rate loan and looking to refinance? Well, UK Federal Credit Union can help. Right now, UK Federal Credit Union has auto loan rates as low as 2.99% APR. Apply for an auto loan online at ukfcu.org or in person at the dealership. Get your dream car today at UK Federal Credit Union. UK Federal Credit Union. It's banking, only better. Annual percentage rate, member qualification supply, rating subject to credit approval, subject to change. For full disclosure, visit ukfcu.org, federally insured by NCUA.
To match up their, you know, liabilities.
I know that, but what are you doing? You're matching up your liabilities with cash now and cash in the future. It's just all you're going to get is the same cash you put in.
Right.
Because you ain't getting any interest.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you might have as well bought a zero coupon bond that it goes from the same value, principal value now to 10 years out. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, to Philip's point, again, I would say that it all depends on your time frame. You know, you could make the argument that this bull market in stocks started in the early 80s as interest rates peaked, because we haven't seen stock valuations ever decline to the same level they did in the early 80s. You could argue that the bull market in stock began when the stock exchange was founded in the U.S. You know, it's been a continuous uptrend since then. Even with bonds.
Or back,
you know,
in the 1600s.
Yeah, yes. I completely agree with that case, but I think that throughout that bull market history, the leadership changes. I mean, you can't get 20, 30 years out of the same leadership class, in my opinion.
Yeah, you cannot, yes. And In fact, you know, the average stock in the S&P 500 does not stay in the S&P 500 for that long either. So, yes, that's absolutely true. Leadership has to change. I mean, today there are very few companies that existed, you know, 30 years ago. The Dow Jones is completely different than it used to be. Now, the drawdowns in the bond market, even though the bond market has been in a bull market since the early 80s, can be pretty big. You know, you've had interest rates go from, you know, 6% or 2% to 4%. So when the financial crisis began, interest rates, long-term interest rates went all the way down. I think 10-year went down all the way to a little under 2%, and then it went on.
When are you talking?
This was in 2007, 2008. And then it went back from 2 to 4%, and then it declined from 4%. And just now, you know, we saw interest rates go from 0.52 to 1.6 this morning on the 10-year. So that's percentage-wise, those are pretty large moves.
Let me get to this next article. Biden's bubble risk, a reckoning in markets as the economy recovers. This is by Ben White. I mean, Shaq has a SPAC. What could go wrong, one economist says, of the economy. A euphoria rippling through Wall Street. Giant bubbles are once again inflating all over the financial world, creating a potential problem for Washington in the coming months. From meme stocks to cryptocurrencies, tech stocks, and the rage for SPACs, risks are clearly rising. Wall Street pros and Washington policymakers know that some or all these bubbles could explode in spectacular ways, but nobody really knows what to do about it. The COVID-racked economy still needs infusions of stimulus cash to keep millions of Americans afloat, and around $2 trillion in additional aid is likely to, and most of it's not going to COVID, by the way. It's going to special interest groups. So this guy's uninformed. The Federal Reserve also continues to press its foot firmly on the gas, shrugging off worries in the bond market that inflation could pop higher later this year is when vaccines start to unlock the full power of the U.S. economy, right? Higher market-based interest rates, in turn, could pop some of those bubbles. So, I mean, this guy's thinking high interest rates. There have been a lot of money going into a lot of things. It seems like an untold amount of cash out there to buy this or buy that. The SPACs, I mean, I would equate those to every kind of dot-com company that you saw in the late 90s, all kinds of companies, they just raised money in order to do this or that. A lot of them went under. So, and in the case of the SPACs, you know, that, I would say it's similar. So go ahead.
The way I would look at a SPAC.
Special purpose acquisition company.
So the way I would look at a SPAC, you know, in the movie The Big Short, where they're talking about where they're at the blackjack table, and it's that bet upon that bet upon that bet. It's basically it's that CDO squared of a unicorn.
All right. So basically the side bet's bigger than the actual thing that's happening.
Because when you think about like the term unicorn, it's all these tech companies or these big growth companies, private companies. Uber was one. Companies that aren't really making profits, but you keep getting these next little bits of private investment that values the company higher each time.
Yeah.
And so when the SPAC finally comes in, that's the last layer to get it to the public market. You know, that's that last oomph on top of an already overpriced situation on a lot of these things. Now, I'm not saying every SPAC out there is necessarily going to go out there and buy a unicorn, but for me, it's that bet upon an even crazier bet. And when you look at interest rates when you're looking at a company like Uber, you know, they're being valued on potential growth of earnings and earnings 30 years out from now and present valuing those back. And when you see 120 basis point move in the 10-year treasury, your discount rate has to change.
Go higher.
Significantly, which crushes what those future earnings are potentially worth.
Right. You got that exactly right. You nailed it. And what if it goes to 256 on the Treasury instead of a 156 or 356? All the daggone projections just completely change because has Uber come public? It has. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought.
I don't think it's done very well either, has it?
It hasn't. No. Although Lyft seems to have done better. I was just looking at Lyft and they've done okay. I mean, if you think about, again, looking at a longer term trend, going back to the early 80s, every time interest rates have risen, they've risen to a certain point, and then the stock market starts dropping, because interest rates become too high or bonds become more attractive. And because of the nature, today the stock market and the economy are so intricately connected, or there's an intricate connection
intricately
between the two where
it's complicated.
Yes. Every time the stock market drops, there's this panic, interest rates at that point start dropping. This time around, we haven't seen interest rates drop along with the stock market. But I suspect if the 10-year goes from, 1.5.
They've been low, they yes. certainly are low.
If they go to about 2, then I would suspect
on the 10-year,
yes. A lot of money would start flowing into bonds because you're not going to get that yield anywhere else. Even when you look at interest rates overseas, they're much lower than interest rates in the U.S. So at some point, you start seeing money flow back into treasuries. And, every time this has happened since the 80s, as interest rates go up, we have a correction in the stock market. The Federal Reserve steps in and starts reducing interest rates. And then interest rates make a new low. So now has this cycle stopped, or are we just repeating the same pattern where at some point interest rates start reversing again and we go back into deflation?
Oh, you end it right on the dime, no hook necessary. You are listening to the Tom Dupree Show with Adarsh Meshru, Philip Sexton, Mike Jensen, and of course Tom Dupree. We will be back in just a few minutes for the second segment of the second hour, coming to you from the Dupree Studios on Main Street. We will be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
The reopening of America
in phases
to ensure vaccines get into arms.
Pandemic rescue package.
The reopening our schools.
To opening up our economy.
What you'll need to know through every phase. News Radio 630.
Actually see other people.
WLAP.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
Holy Gentle Giants dog and puppy food, Batman. I'm Burt Ward, Robin from Batman, inviting you to feed your dog natural, non-GMO Gentle Giants dog and puppy food. Dogs eating Gentle Giants and using our special feeding and care program are living as long as 27 healthy, active years with a wonderful quality of life. Think of all the extra years you could enjoy with your dog. Get it now at Walmart, Target, grocery stores, and GentleGiantsDogFood.com. Try Gentle Giant's new cat and kitten food, too.
Did you know just the simple act of dressing for work can make you more productive? According to a recent study by the Wall Street Journal, getting dressed for work each morning can even improve your performance. Untucked shirts are the easy way to look sharp instantly, and they're designed to be worn untucked, so you'll stay comfortable all day long. So for your next Zoom call, lose the t-shirt and grab an untucked shirt instead. It'll also be your go-to when we start returning to all the things we've been missing. Try one today at any Untucked store or at Untucked.com. Untucked shirts, designed to be worn untucked.
The 2021 Honda ATV lineup is here to prove it's possible to work smarter and harder. With the power to get the job done, the technology to make it easier, and tried and tested quality to keep you moving forward, the only thing left to add is you. Then you'll understand how life is better on a Honda. Honda recommends ATVs for riders 16 years and older and recommends that all ATV riders take a training course.
It is a chilly but a great-looking start to the weekend. Plenty of sunshine on your Saturday. We're talking about a high into the mid and upper 40s. From the WKYT First Alert Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Chris Bailey.
Broadcasting live 24-7 from the heart of Big Blue Nation, this is News Radio 630 WLAP, an iHeartRadio station.
Hey, how many credit cards are in your wallet? The only card you need is the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card, which offers rates as low as 7.24% APR. When unexpected expenses arise, you need a credit card with options, like the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card with no annual fee and no balance transfer fee. Annual percentage rates apply, member qualifications apply, but the rate is variable and it applies to Visa or Platinum Card, subject to credit approval and subject to change. For full disclosures, visit ukfcu.org, federally insured by NCUA.
Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch and you could save an average of $470 on your auto insurance. That's a lot of money in just a few minutes. With savings like that, you could be lounging on an impractical amount of ornate and overpriced throw pillows you bought for your couch. But you won't, because you're better with money than that. That's why you're calling us in the first place. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote today.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Based on average nationwide annual savings survey data, July to December 2020, underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Love getting prices that are lower than low on food that's fresher than fresh? Then shop at Kroger. We give you more ways to save on the fresh you love with tools like the Kroger app, where you can find personalized coupons on top of weekly sales, giving you prices that are lower than the everyday low. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Right now, you can save on strawberries. They're fresh and juicy, and 16-ounce cartons are two for only $3 with your card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Did you know that over 90% of male enhancement pills are virtually the same thing that's repackaged, redone over and over again? Why settle for the same old product when you can get something completely different? Something that takes male enhancement into the 21st century. Something that really works. Men, you need to try Noxetril, the all-natural male enhancement formula that will unlock your performance in the bedroom to a level you could only dream of. Try to imagine Viagra on steroids. Noxetril is so powerful, that's why it took years for it to finally become available to the public without a prescription. So call now and take advantage of our special Noxetril free bottle offer today. Oh yeah, we recommend that you use the Noxetril dose as directed. Think of your partner. We certainly don't want you to overperform in the bedroom.
Call now and find out how to get a free bottle of Noxetril while supplies last. Call 1-800-993-2190. Free bottles for a limited time. So call now, 800-993-2190, 800-993-2190.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
630 WLAP.
you're not, here we come. Back for the second segment of the Tom Dupree Show, second hour, too. Adarsh Meshru, Philip Sexton, Mike Johnson joining Tom Dupree, who seems to be a little salty today. We're going to carry on the second hour, Tom?
Yeah. Sure are. Okay, socially irresponsible investing. This is kind of interesting. Well, rather than me read the whole thing, let's just talk about it. Because socially responsible investing is a big deal. They do all these socially responsible investing, screens and
ESG scores.
Yeah,
ESG
scoring and everything. And it's based on what I would call an arbitrary reckoning of how socially responsible different companies are. I'm sure the oil companies rate the lowest of the low, but what about the fact that they create the gasoline that takes people to the hospital that need to get there because they're sick? But that's socially irresponsible. So the grading things are just completely off, in my opinion.
Or they make the plastic water tanks to go to Africa for all the children for clean water.
There you go.
Well, and the point...
That's a good one.
The point he's making is that it's relative. Generally, there are some things that pretty much everybody in society would agree that this is not acceptable.
Gambling.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, some people wouldn't have a problem with gambling.
Oh, so give me an example of what a company.
Well, I mean, casinos, it's a legal form of entertainment.
No, what's one that
is? Oh, so one of them he uses is child labor. Generally everybody says, okay.
It's good for them.
It's good for them. But the point he makes, what if assembling, he says, if assembling widgets or sewing T-shirts is the only way you can keep your family from going hungry, you're looking at the context of where these things are occurring. So
they would say Nike or somebody using child labor.
Exactly. So on the one hand, we're putting our values from our standpoint on these other areas of the world. Yeah. You're like, okay, well, if these children, and I'm not saying I support child labor, but
if I had a bunch of kids that age, I'd have them out working.
But in some of these countries, if they aren't working, then starvation becomes a reality for them. It makes the point, how far do you take it? Coke, Pepsi, McDonald's. You could argue that those companies, because of obesity, kill more people than tobacco companies.
Yeah, but you go to the McDonald's up here on Limestone Street, and that's the one place where they let homeless guys hang out, where they don't kick them out.
Yeah.
And they go in there and eat. And that may be their, other than going to the Salvation Army or something, that's one place where they can get a hamburger or something, or nothing.
Right.
Just hang out in there. The McDonald's does not kick them out.
Right.
That one up there doesn't.
Let's say you invest in an ESG fund. You are putting your faith that this ESG fund has the same values that you have. If you're talking guns, if you ask 100 people their view on guns, 50% of them are going to disagree with the other half. It's just they have different views. It's polarizing. And there's a lot of issues like that. So when you put money in an ESG fund, maybe not, it lines up with your values. So, I mean, that's the first piece of it. I mean, the whole point of an ESG fund is to invest your morals, essentially. So the ESG might not even line up morally with what you feel. But then how do you quantify success with an ESG fund? Okay, you invest in an ESG fund and whatever it's in goes down in value. Well, you invested according to your values, but it went down in price. Is that a success or not?
In other words, I don't care whether my investment does well. I just want to invest morally. Like the guy that we had that came in and invested, opened the account and everything, and he was a school teacher. And nothing wrong with school teachers, but he heard the radio show, and I think he told me, he said, I cannot in good conscience continue to invest with you all,
right,
because of what Tom Dupree says on the radio. And that's just his point of view. But he was, in other words, he was saying that I don't really care what my investment return is, whether you all will do a good job. And it has nothing to do with people's philosophy. I don't like what you say, therefore I can't do business with you.
Right, right.
I wonder if he applies that same thing to the place he goes to the grocery, to the guy that fills up the gasoline tank in his car.
Right.
I mean, you know, those sorts. Is he applying that filter mm-hmm. to everyone around him? Is he asking people in the line with him to get a new driver's license? What are your political viewpoints?
Right.
Because if they're not, I don't want to breathe the same air as you. So it, to me, and that's the liberal viewpoint primary. Most of this is driven by liberals, Biden voters, that kind of thing. They want to purify the air around them mm-hmm. of somebody that might have potentially, you know, supported Donald Trump or what. It really is yeah. that mindset.
Well, what people need to understand is, you know, ESG and the whole push behind it, really when it comes down, it's a marketing ploy, and it's an asset. It's a push to gather assets.
So you don't think it's driven by this desire to be pure? It's driven more by marketing, or?
Well, I mean, I think people might have a desire to invest a certain way, but the vehicle behind it, the mechanics behind it is a marketing ploy. You look at these, I remember this was about 2 years ago, Christian funds were coming in. Those were in vogue at the time, and was getting emails all the time for these different Christian funds that invest on an ESG basis according to Christian principles. Yeah. And again, that's relative, you know, okay, which religion, you know, which denomination are you?
Yeah.
But that in and of itself, it's a marketing ploy. And you have to remember, you look at custodians, you know, Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, Schwab, all these different ones, they partake in that because they're in the business of providing a service that people want. We had a conversation with someone the other day talking about, you know, yes, Fidelity has ESG funds. We don't agree with it. We don't partake in ESG funds, but they also use margin. You have the ability to use margin. We don't partake in margin. We don't short stocks. So there's a whole mechanism behind this, and it's to gather assets.
This is an interesting thing from here. He's talking about bad industries, ones you wouldn't want to invest in. Pawn shops. This one is my favorite. I love it when rich, privileged people feel bad for poor people and are outraged that pawn shops charge 200% interest. They are trying to run pawn shops out of business, and in doing so, hurt the people that they were so compassionately trying to help. Pawn shops are the second oldest profession because banks simply cannot make money giving out $50 loans and charging a 10 or even 20% interest rate. For anyone reading this, $50 or $100 is a trivial amount. In the very worst case, we could borrow it from a family member or friend, put it on a credit card, or utilize our bank line of credit. But what if you don't have a stable job or make so little money that the bank won't touch you? What if you don't have relatives who can help you? What if you need $100 so you can buy groceries, pay the electric bill, or pay a court fine? Same thing with these payday loan places.
Right. They
now people do get hooked into them,
yeah,
and they become slaves of paying off what they borrowed, and that's wrong. That's taking, it says in the Bible, you don't take advantage of poor people. Mm-hmm. You don't do it. It's one of the worst sins you can do, in my opinion, and it should never be done.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, those things provide liquidity sometimes in a place where there is none. So it's like a two-edged sword.
Yeah,
I think you said it perfect. Is the providing of liquidity, you know, and to that example, you know, the law of unintended consequences is you want to shut a pawn shop down. Okay, that's fine. Well, what's Billy down the street going to do now when he needs to pawn his bicycle to pay, you know, pay to have his daughter to eat or something like that, you know, and it's
wrong.
And the funny thing I find, you know, to what you said about the ESG and if you lose money. So here, a lot of people that are in that ESG realm, to what you said, Tom, is this big, highly left liberal push, you know, that same agenda is that if you are showing any signs of a elitist attitude, you know, then that's a sin as well on the liberal agenda. So, you know, to be quite honest with you, if you lose money, then yeah, you're successful because you got knocked down a notch at that point.
It was interesting. The SEC actually ruled a few months back that in 401ks, retirement plans, that you couldn't offer ESG funds purely because they're ESG funds, because that was an abdication of fiduciary duty.
I agree.
And so it was just interesting, that ruling, where, you know, it has to be, the whole point of investing should be to make money. And, you know, you as the fiduciary need to offer things that you think is in the best interest of accomplishing that goal.
Couldn't agree with you more. Okay, the end of ultra low rates is battering the stock market. What to know? Randall W. Forsyth. This is Barron's. I think it's the reason everybody's talking about this is it's been so long since we've possibly seen a sustained rise in interest rates. People have forgotten or maybe never did know what higher rates can do to the stock market. And it was for the reason that Philip talked about it. It's the projection of those earnings. What is the discount rate on those earnings? As the rate goes higher, it can hammer. Basically, what a stock is a bond with no duration, or an infinite duration, which is the same thing as no duration. So it's like a fixed income, the earnings being the coupon, you know, out into the future, and you're trying to value that.
The crazy thing that I'm seeing right now, you know, different from just really 2 or 3 years ago, you know, when the Fed started raising interest rates, what was that, 17 or 18? Somewhere in that time frame. But basically, you know, your long end of your yield curve had been flat and even was just kind of fluctuating down a little bit when the Fed was starting to push the upper end of the curve, or the lower end of the curve up. Now you're seeing, you know, the Fed holding that bottom end down, and this farther end just keeps getting steeper and steeper on us. You know, and I think from a psychological standpoint, that's a big shift.
I would say the longer end is just normalizing, given that the economy is improving. So where was the long end before the pandemic?
You mean the 30-year bond?
Yes, the 30-year. And it's basically just going back to where it was before, you know, when unemployment back in February of 2020 dropped all the way to 3.6% or whatever. And now, as we are seeing a decline in unemployment, the long bond is going to, you know, the yield on the long bond is going to start rising again. Now, at some point, you know, it becomes unsustainable. But to me, it's a good sign that the yield curve is actually steepening, you know, and that's always been good for stocks. It's never been bad for stocks. Now, of course, there are jitters, and I suspect that's tied to some of this excess that we've seen prior to this. You know, over the last few months, we saw big jump in these PACs and, you know, GameStop and all that. But as of now, you know, I think interest rates going up are good for stocks. They only become bad for stocks once they, you know,
the spread gets too high.
Yes, and inflation starts picking up, where the Fed is forced to start tightening liquidity. As of now, the Fed is saying that, you know, liquidity is going to be, they're not going to tighten liquidity anytime soon.
So are you not concerned then? That's what I was saying is you have this shift, and I agree with some pattern of normalization. But when you look at the whole ecosystem and where unemployment sits now compared to where unemployment sat pre-COVID, where, you know, discretionary income sits now versus where it sat pre-COVID. You know, all these factors are starting to come into play. And, you know, as things start to normalize in the economy, if the Fed continues their very loose policy on the bottom end and from a fiscal standpoint, you know, surplus spending continues at record paces, you know, could you see that, you know, that long end, the 30-year going to like 6%, and then the Fed, to what you said, be forced to start notching the belt down?
When a bear market stops or starts, you have no idea where it's going to go.
Right. That's true.
I mean, you don't. Remember what happened back in 08 when GE got downgraded? Their bonds traded to a 12, I think it was a 12% yield they got
right
up to.
Yes.
And you know, the bonds got cut from a AAA to like a AA2.
Right.
But everybody thought everything was going to pieces at that point. Yeah. What are their bonds now? Like probably 2%, 1.5%?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it can go a lot farther than you think it can go.
It definitely can. Yes. I guess what I'm saying is that we've seen this before, you know, since the financial crisis, where interest rates, every time, you know, the economy starts improving or unemployment starts declining, long-term rates do go up, and then they reach a point where they become attractive. In that, over that period, there is, you know, a shakeout in the stock market. You know, you may see a 10% correction, 15% correction. But if you're comparing it to what happened in the 70s, you know, I think the situation is quite different, just because in the 70s, there wasn't as much debt in the economy. There was, the demographics were completely different. The US was a much younger society. Your average age was much lower than it is today, which means that, you know, the baby boomers back then were just starting to buy homes and things like that. They were in their 30s. Today, you know, the demographics are different. There's a lot of debt in the economy. There's also disruption happening, technological disruption, which is deflationary by nature. So the forces of deflation today are much more powerful than they were in the 70s, which means that every time the Fed tightens even a little bit, the economy starts, you know, going into a recession. Now, has that changed? There's no reason to believe it's changed yet. You know, could it change at some point? Possibly. Look at Japan. You know, that's a very good example. Their government spending is much higher than the U.S. Interest rates have been low for a number of years. Look at their demographics. Look at their technological, you know, stuff where robots are doing a lot of things. So the same factors, to a smaller extent perhaps, are playing out in the U.S. where interest rates, you know, they're just not able to go higher because deflationary forces are much more, you know, powerful for interest rates to go higher.
Oh, well, my argument on the demographic standpoint would be when you really start to see the trend, you know, every year you get a layer of baby boomers kind of off the books in a very morbid way. But, you know, when you think of where the millennial generation is actually the bigger generation now, you know, that generation is now in the middle of the home buying phase, in the middle of, you know, starting careers or, you know, starting to build out their investment portfolios, things like that. You know, I think that there is a potential moving forward for that to really start to overtake things and start to push that next wave of, you know, real economic growth and potential inflation that you'd have to be careful for down the road.
It's possible. It's always possible. And, you know, if that happens, you know, you have to change. I'm not saying that this is how it'll happen. It's just that as of now, you know, there is no sign of it happening. Just because interest rates went up, you know, from where they were back in March of last year, it's too soon to say that, you know, this is the start of a wave of much higher inflation.
Gotcha.
Darsha did it again. Perfect. Our goal is to educate, guide, and empower. We hope you've learned something from this show, and Adarsh is still laughing. If you like what you've heard, go to our website, DupreeFinancial.com. You can find our podcast under the radio and blog tab. We appreciate you listening. You've been listening to the Tom Dupree Show. We will talk to you next week. Have a great week.
Reopening of America
in phases
to ensure vaccines get into arms.
Pandemic rescue package.
The reopening our schools.
To opening up our economy.
What you'll need to know through every phase. News Radio 630.
Actually see other people.
WLAP.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
Hey, are you looking to buy a new car? Are you stuck in a high-rate loan and looking to refinance? Well, UK Federal Credit Union can help. Right now, UK Federal Credit Union has auto loan rates as low as 2.99% APR. Apply for an auto loan online at ukfcu.org or in person at the dealership. Get your dream car today at UK Federal Credit Union. UK Federal Credit Union. It's banking, only better. Annual percentage rate, member qualification supply, rated subject to credit approval and subject to change. For full disclosure, visit ukfcu.org. Federally insured by NCUA.